Jesus. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Father. You know, the word of God says, and Paul said this in the word of God, that he had learned to be content in every circumstance. I got to admit, I'm still learning. Yes, to be content in every circumstance. Thank you, Jesus. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's right there. He is right there always. I never forget that, though. Some things slip my mind after. Holy Spirit have to make me remember. But I never forget that he's always there in every circumstance. So I remember when I struggled, used to struggle with that some years ago. I struggled with the fact that he was there in every circumstance, in every situation. But now I know that he never leaves me nor forsake me, because I take him at his word, in words that I will never leave you nor forsake you. So he's always there. He's always there. We just have to stop and get still and listen and reconnect with him. Yeah. Because he's there. He's always there. Hallelujah. He's always there. He's always there. He's always there. And since he's always there, he knows every situation. He knows how we feel. He knows what we're going through. He knows every problem before we take it to him and ask him about it. You know what? He's already provided every answer to ahead of time. So, Father, we say thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you so much, and that's only because you love us so much. We love you because you first loved us, and we can no way love you except you loved us first. Hallelujah. Thank you. Except you loved us first. You loved us first. You gave everything first. And so we thank you this morning. We thank you this morning, Lord. We thank you this morning. We thank you this morning. We thank you this morning. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Oh, we thank you. You're still here. You're always going to be here. Oh, yes. We just have to turn our attention towards you. Yes. And so we thank you for that this morning, Lord. We say thank you, Jesus. We say thank you, Jesus. We say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're going to go to the word of God this morning. I guess the word had to be demonstrated before we actually preach it this morning, I guess. And God gave me this word several weeks ago. And when I read it, I began to ask God questions about what, God, what does this look like? You know, what was Paul saying to Timothy? Let's look again at 1 Timothy 6:12. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. What's a good fight? If there's a good fight, there's a bad fight. Someone said a good fight is that fight you win. That bad fight is the one you lose. So Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Matter of fact, that's the only time I believe we were told to fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight. If we don't know the truth about the word of God, if we don't know how to fight a good fight, then we're going to wind up fighting a bad fight. And so when the Lord led me to this scripture, I said, okay, Lord, what was Paul telling Timothy? What's a good fight? What's a good fight of faith? How do you know when you're fighting a good fight of faith? It's probably easy to know when you're fighting a bad fight of faith because you're losing. Amen, Mary. I was getting ready to say that. So, but how do you fight a good fight of faith? I mean, how do you do that? 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 There's some things we need to know, some truths we need to know in order to fight the good fight of faith. Because if we don't know those truths, what the Word of God says, and we don't apply those truths, we don't walk in those truths, then we're going to be fighting a bad fight of faith without even realizing it, without even realizing what we're doing. One of the main truths we need to know in order to fight a good fight of faith is we need to know that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You got to know you're righteous. You got to know you're righteous. And you got to know you're righteous because Christ paid for all our sin and made us righteous. Righteousness is a grace gift. It's something God has freely given to us. So, Donnie, you're righteous. Not because of how you acted this morning or what you did or what you done, but because you have received Christ as your Savior, you have been made righteous. You have been made righteous. Romans teaches the message of righteousness by grace that causes faith to come. It's amazing how righteousness will make faith come, but it does. If I know that I'm righteous, and when I go to God and ask for something, and then I know that, okay, I'm righteous. I'm in right standing with God. God ain't holding no sins against me. God ain't holding nothing against me. You know, I am pure and clear in His sight. Okay. If you go and approach God that way, the way the scripture says that you are, then that gives you confidence, don't it? It boosts up your confidence. It gives us righteousness, causes faith to come. It causes faith to come by grace when you know you're righteous. You know God's not holding out on you. God's not keeping anything back from you. God is not at you. God is not punishing you for something you did last week. That is not on the table. Then I can fight a good fight of faith. If when I was young and growing up, I knew that mama's in a good mood, and today's the day to ask mama for the keys to the car or for some money, or can I go on a date? Then that's a good day to ask mama, ain't it? Well, God is in a good mood every day. Every day is a good day with God. Because what Jesus did cannot be undone, not ever. So in order to fight the good fight of faith, you got to know that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know you are righteous. And you got to know that nothing could ever change that righteousness that God has given you in Christ. Now, if we could mess it up, it done been messed up. But the fact is, we can't mess it up. God did it in such a way that we cannot mess it up. I was telling, I think it was the Bible study people, that the covenant was made between Abraham and Abraham's seed, S-E-E-D. And that seed is Christ. Now, Abraham did his part, and Jesus has done his part. See, and see, now the covenant, it can never be broken or messed up because we are joint heirs with Christ. We're joint heirs with him. We can join in on everything. Like if Mary says she's going to have a party. Mary, yes. She's going to have a party. She's going to have a party. She's going to cook all this food and invite us to the party. All we got to do is what? Come. That's all we got to do. Just come. Just come to the party because Mary's taking care of everything. We just sit down and eat at the banquet table. And we can't mess it up because Mary did it. She didn't ask us. She didn't ask us for no money. She didn't ask us for anything. She just did it all by grace. And all we have to do is come and enjoy. That's the way it is with Jesus. That's how it is with him. That's how it is with him. He just said, come, receive. And so if you know that, if you know that's the way it is in the kingdom, if you know that's the way God fixed it, and it can't be unfixed. Jesus died one time. You don't have to die no more. He rose from the dead. It's a done deal. When we know that, then we can fight a good fight of faith. When you're not dependent on you and your righteousness or anything that you can do, but you're all your dependency is on him, then you can fight the good fight of faith. Because we come short every time. If we look at ourselves, if we look within ourselves, we are going to fall short. But we were never told to do that. We were told what? Look to Jesus. The scripture says, the author and finisher of our faith. We ought to look to him. We ought to look to him. So it's Romans 4:13 that tells us, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So faith is righteous. There's a righteousness of faith that I was just explaining to you. The word of God is the faith of God. If you're going to fight a good fight of faith, you got to know that the word of God is the faith of God. No wonder faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, because every word of God contains faith. Every word of God has within it the power and ability to bring forth what God has spoken it to do. Amen. 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 So how do you fight a good fight of faith? You know that you're the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. You know you're righteous. And then you know that every word of God contains faith to produce whatever the word of God says it should do. So when we speak the word of God, the power of God is in the word of God. It's that word and that seed that will bring forth whatever God had purposed it to bring forth. We got to know that to fight the good fight of faith. We got to know that. So fight the good fight of faith. What hinders our good fight of faith? There's one thing that hinders our good fight of faith. You can't fight the good fight of faith with a hardened heart. You must have a heart that believes in order to receive. You got to believe you're righteous. You got to believe the word of God will produce everything God said it would produce. You got to just take God's word at face value. If God said it, it's a done deal. It's like Mary's party. If Mary says you're having a party and come on over, it's a done deal. But if your heart is hardened, that will hinder the good fight of faith. We got to have a heart that believes in order to receive. So let's look at a hard heart. A heart that's hardened versus a heart that believes. A hardened heart is simply being more sensitive to or dominated by natural thinking than by supernatural thinking or word of God thinking. Very simple. A hardened heart is simply being more sensitive to or dominated by natural thinking than by supernatural thinking. The word of God said that God's thoughts are not like our thoughts. God don't think the way we think. Never, amen. So, yeah, Mary, yeah. He doesn't think like we think. He never have thought the way we thought. And once we get born again, God wants us to start back thinking the way he thinks. We got to start thinking kingdom thinking. That's why our mind need to be renewed. We grew up in a world where it would be nice, easier, I guess, if you grew up with parents that believed the word of God and taught you the word of God and you saw them demonstrating the word of God and all of that. But most of us didn't have that. We grew up with worldly thinking. Our parents thought they were good parents, but they thought the way the world thought. No one thinks that it's not okay to think the way the world thinks. Not even Christians today think it's not okay to think the way the world thinks. But it's not okay to think the way the world thinks. Uh-uh. So how do we learn how do we learn to think the way the world thinks? You learn it on commercials and TV movies and TV shows and at work, your friends, your family, people you talk to at the grocery store, people you talk to everywhere you go. Everybody, unless you have your mind renewed and you have started thinking supernaturally or thinking the way the world thinks. And it simply means you're more sensitive to natural thinking. And that doesn't mean it's bad. It just means it's natural. It just means it's natural thinking. It's natural thinking. The natural mind says, if I hurt, take a pill. If I hurt, go to the doctor. Natural thinking is like this. If I can solve the problem, I'm gonna solve it. Yes. And that doesn't mean it's bad. It means it's just natural thinking. We think of ways we can solve the problem on our own. I'm thinking about Donnie, husband and wives, Ed and Donnie. Even husband and wives. Husbands, if a problem arises with a wife, the first thing that husband's going to think about, how can I fix this for my baby? My wife, I love her. How can I fix this for her? Natural. And the wife, the same way. You know, how can I do this to fix this for my husband? It's natural thinking. We always revert and more sensitive to or dominated by natural thinking than by supernatural thinking or word of God thinking. And that has to change. And why does it have to change? Because it's not the natural mind that ushers in the supernatural. It's the renewed mind that thinks like God thinks. So how do we fight this good fight of faith? We got to get rid of the hardness of heart. And see, the thing about a hardness of heart is you can be very spiritual about this and a hard heart about something else. If we use this Bible definition of what a hardened heart is, then all of us have areas where we are hardened or insensitive to God. All of us. Our hearts become hard and insensitive when we consider, think upon, study, ponder, deliberate, or meditate on anything other than God and his ways. Oh, Lord. We so need to know God and his ways. Moses knew the ways of God, and he had an intimate relationship with God. The children of Israel knew his acts, but not his ways. And a way to get rid of a hardened heart is we have to start learning the ways of God. We got to start learning his ways. We must believe God's way of living and doing things in order to fight the good fight of faith. God's word lets us know God's way of doing things. And we got to learn God's way of doing things. One of God's ways is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We don't have to seek righteousness because we already righteous. That was written in under the old covenant. But we still supposed to what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his ways. And all the other things we added to us. What did the song in Jireh say? If he clothed the lilies of the field, of the valley, he'll clothe us. He'll clothe us. He'll take care of us. So what are some characteristics of a hardened heart? How do you know this thing about a hardened heart? What are some characteristics? First, a hard heart keeps us from perceiving spiritual truths. If you got a hard heart in a certain area, it will keep you from perceiving spiritual truths. And we don't have to even wonder about that. We can think about when our heart was hard in some area and it kept us from perceiving spiritual truths. We probably think of somebody we know right now that has a hard heart, and it's keeping them from perceiving spiritual truths. You have received the spiritual truth. You know it, but they're not able to see it yet. So the first thing, hard heart keeps us from perceiving spiritual truths. This is why everyone in church service will hear exactly the same message. Some will receive while others won't. And it's not the word that's the variable. The word of God is not the variable. It's the hearts. It's the hearts. The seed of the sword in the Bible talks about the ground, and the ground is the heart. Our heart makes a difference. And our heart will keep us from perceiving spiritual truths. Especially if you've heard the wrong teaching so long and over again. And then you hear the truth about that thing. And okay, then you're in the middle and you say, okay, this is what, and you can be reading the Bible. You can be reading the Bible. And the Bible can upset you. Stuff you thought was right. Yes, Mary. And you sit there, you're reading the word of God. And I'll use myself for an example. When I first really read the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:21, you have been made the righteousness of God. He that knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I had read over that scripture, didn't bother me. This particular time I read it, it hit home. It really hit home. And I'm thinking, okay, it's sad when you say this about the Bible. That can't be true. That's a sad day, isn't it? That's a sad day. That's that day when you realize my mind really needs to be renewed. Because I hadn't heard that. I had heard that you're not righteous. If you got to constantly confess your sins, you got to constantly ask God to forgive you. You know, you got to make sure you stayed right. Because if you didn't and you die, then you don't know whether you went to heaven or not. You know, I had never been told or taught that I was made righteous. And I looked at that scripture. That was before I went to Caris Bible College. But see, after I went to Caris Bible College and I got the full word of God and grace, then I realized that was the Holy Spirit trying to get me to see the truth, trying to get me to let go of all that stuff that it caused my heart to get hardened to the word of God. Some people believe that pastor, and y'all believe, if I preach the word of God, believe the word of God. I don't advocate nobody taking, I don't care who the pastor is. Just believing what that pastor say and apart from the word of God. No. You take the word of God. And if me or anybody else, if we preach what the word says, fine. But if I preach, I'm like Paul, if I preach any other doctrine, you know, don't receive it. Don't receive it. But some people take what their pastor says over what the word of God says. They believe if the pastor said it, must be true. You know. And then there are those too to take what the doctor says above everything else, what the word of God says. If my doctor said it's got to be true, my doctor told me to do this, and my doctor said do that, they follow the doctor more than they do the word of God. I'm not saying not supposed to, if you're going to go to the doctor, be obedient, do what he tell you to do, but know this. No doctor is greater than what the word of God says. No doctor is greater than God. No person is greater than God. God, if you're going to fight the good fight of faith, you got to decide in your heart, okay, God, it's you and you alone. I take you and your word. And I take everything by you. I take what a doctor says by you. I take whatever anybody else says by you. Whatever happens or whatever I hear, God, I take it through you. You can't fight the good fight of faith if you don't trust the word of God, if you don't trust God, if you don't let God be number one. The word of God said Jesus has to have the preeminence. He has to have the preeminence. He has to be first. He has to be first. He has to be first. The word of God has to take first priority in our lives. It has to. And that don't mean that we automatically do that. But it means we, every day, that's our life's work. That's our life desire. That's what we're doing. We're renewing our mind. We're allowing the word of God to take first place. We believe in the word of God in spite of how we feel. In spite of what it looked like, the word of God has to be first. If it's not first, then we cannot always fight that good fight of faith. Because all that other stuff that we allow to take first place in our hearts is going to come up and make null and void the word of God. Hard hearts stop spiritual perception. If your heart is hard in any area, then you cannot perceive and see whatever God wants to show you, whatever he wants you to see. You cannot see it because your heart has been hardened and your perception has been dull or stopped. Second, hard heart stops us from understanding spiritual truths. And that's in 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man cannot understand and perceive the spiritual things. It's just impossible. So hard heart stops us from understanding spiritual truths. When we don't understand God's word, Satan finds no resistance when he comes to steal it. Matthew 13:19. He will steal the truth. Just like me when I told you about 1 Corinthians 5:21. When the Holy Spirit was trying to give me the truth, I didn't understand it. And so it was, I didn't stand on that truth then because Satan could come and steal it. He can come and steal it. He steals what we don't understand. So what do we do when we don't understand the word of God? Pray and ask Holy Spirit to help us understand. Pray and ask Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I don't understand this. Help me understand. What are you saying here? What does this mean, Lord? Show it to me. I need to know. I pray that prayer all the time. I don't care how long you've been saved, how long you've been born again, or who you are. We all need the help of the Holy Spirit. We cannot fight a good fight of faith without Holy Spirit. We need to know and understand. Don't be afraid to ask God to help you understand and know something. Don't be afraid to allow Holy Spirit to correct you. You can't fight a good fight of faith if you're so afraid you don't want to be corrected. You don't want Holy Spirit to show you something you need to see. You don't want Holy Spirit to point you out something you need to be pointed out to. A good fight of faith listens and allows themselves to be corrected when we need to be corrected. And we all have had times we need to be corrected. And guess what? There's going to be some more times we need to be corrected. The third evidence of a hard heart is a hard heart keeps us from remembering. It keeps us from remembering. This isn't to say that we can't recall facts or scripture. As related in the story in Mark 8, 19 and 20, when Jesus told the disciples, don't you remember? Can't you perceive? You don't remember the loaves and how we fed the 5,000? They had forgot. And he told them in that particular scripture, they had a hard heart. So a hard heart keeps us from remembering. And it's not that we can't remember facts. We can. The disciples remember the facts of the two miraculous feedings. They remember that. But they had forgotten any spiritual lesson they had learned. Likewise, some of us quote scripture or remember what the sermon was about, but we can't perceive the spiritual life in them or retain what we did receive because of hardened hearts. So a hard heart in an area would keep us from remembering and receiving spiritual truth. And if we don't remember that spiritual truth, then we can't fight the good fight of faith. I got to remember what Holy Spirit is telling me. I got to remember the spiritual truth Holy Spirit is telling me so I can apply it. If you don't remember it, you can't apply it. So we got to remember, we got to be able to apply that spiritual truth. A hardened heart is deprived of God's wisdom. A hardened heart toward God produces spiritual retardation. All that means is we stop growing spiritually. We stop growing spiritually. We stop hearing God in certain areas. You know, it's easy if you got a heart to where you want to fight the good fight of faith. You want to get to know God. You want to grow spiritually. Then you're going to keep your heart open. But anytime you start closing your heart off to where you don't want to hear God in a certain area, that's a warning sign right there. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. But it just means we stop spiritual. Retardation means we just stop growing spiritually because we're not hearing God. But you know what? The good news is we can actually harden our hearts to doubt by only considering the word of God. You can harden your heart to doubt by only considering the word of God. Just consider the word. What does the word say about the situation? What does the word say about a matter? What does the word say about it? Just always consider what the word of God says. It is possible to become just as sensitive to God and faith as we have been to Satan and doubt. And that's how you fight a good fight of faith. You got to be more sensitive. You got to be just as sensitive to God and faith as you used to be to Satan and doubt. Very sensitive to Holy Spirit. Very sensitive to what the Holy Spirit say. Very sensitive to his leading. Very sensitive to his voice. When you hear him above all the other stuff. You get quiet and you hear what he's saying. So how do we fight the good fight of faith? Let's look at Ephesians 6:16. I'm getting ready to get to the end of this. Ephesians 6:16. We want to fight the good fight of faith and take hold of eternal life. Ephesians 6:16 says this, above all, taking the shield of faith, in which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. In every battle is a faith battle. Take faith. The Passion Translation says, as your wraparound shield, because if you got faith, you'll be able to extinguish all the blazing arrows coming at you from the devil. And what are those arrows? All those arrows are lies against the truth. Lies against the truth. I had a battle last week with my body. Don't know where the symptoms came from, but my head was hurting. It's sort of last Sunday. My head was hurting. My sinuses were stopped up. My nose, well, sinus pressure, but my nose was running. And I felt so bad. But I had already been studying how to fight the good fight of faith. So yeah, that's where it came from. And anyway, every day I had to choose. Every day I spoke the word of God over myself, and by his stripes, I'm healed. You know, I was healed. But I couldn't just say that. Every day I had to make a choice. I had to choose to believe that and resist the sickness, even though it didn't look like it was going anywhere. It didn't feel like it was going anywhere. But I still had to resist. I still had to resist. I still had to resist. And so if I didn't resist, I would wind up every day lying in the bed, you know, thinking about how bad I felt and not doing anything. I didn't do everything like I wanted to do, but I still kept going and doing something. Then I said, Lord, I said, I need some medication. Can I take some medication? So I took that by the Lord. So I took some medication. And every day it was a battle. Every day it was a battle. A battle not to give in to how I felt. A battle not to give in to the symptoms. And had I given in, it probably would have took longer. I probably wouldn't have been here this morning. Because after I got the feeling better, my voice was gone. It's not feeling 100% right now because I'm teaching, but my voice was gone. I mean, it was crackly. It was terrible. It wasn't no ways like it is now. But it's a fight. We got to fight the good fight of faith. We got to fight the good fight of faith. And the enemy, when he brings the lies, we got to bring the truth. We got to bring the truth. And it's something we got to walk out. It's something we got to walk out. And I can't not walk it out because I myself get attacked. I can't not preach it because I myself get attacked. But we all got to fight the good fight of faith in spite of what we're facing, in spite of what we have to go through. Still fight. Still pursue the truth. Still speak the truth. Still be endeavor to walking out the truth. Still do that. Still do that. Sometimes we look at different ministers or different people in ministry, and we look at where they are, and we think they've always been there. We don't see the battle. We don't see what it took to get to where they are now. But everybody has a battle to get to where they need to be. Everybody has to do the same thing. Believe the word. Believe the word. Believe the word. In spite of what it feels like, it looks like, believe the word. Believe the word. Ephesians 6:17 says this, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Take the helmet of salvation. Embrace the power of your full salvation and deliverance. Everything that's yours and mine in our salvation package, know what's yours. Know it. Renew that mind with it. Know it. Know it. So that the truth that you know will be your protection against the lies of the enemy, the thoughts that the enemy try to bring. Know it. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Take that word. Take that word. Take God's word of faith. Take God's word that's full of faith and believe it. And today, it might be that you just take a couple of baby steps in it. But tomorrow, still take it. The next day, still take it. Still take it. Still walk out the word of God. Because that word is true, and that's how we fight the good fight of faith. It's not our situations that are true, that is truth. It's the word of God that's truth. We might be experiencing a faith battle when it comes to sickness and disease or finances or whatever, or it could be some problem with anger or something, but that's not the reality. The reality is the word of God and what the word of God says about the situation. So we need to let the word of God trump that situation. And let the word of God be our reality. Not what we see, not what we hear, not what we feel. Amen. So change your focus. No one has ever won a faith battle while focused on this world's reality. You can't focus on what the world is picture. You can't focus on the picture the world is showing you. You got to focus on what picture the word of God is showing you. So what is heaven reality in your situation? Heaven's reality in my situation was that by his stripes, I was healed. No matter how I felt, I was still healed. I was still healed. Did I have some setbacks and upsets in my health, in my body? Yes. But hey, I'm here this morning. I'm here this morning. And I could have been home in the bed, but I'm here this morning. Remember, whatever God's word and his promises reveal is heaven's reality. I like Mark 11:24, and I want to read that, because God showed me something in that I hadn't seen before. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. You must unite the word with faith to receive the promise. Believe that you received. Believe that you've received. Believe that you received. Believe that you received. Believe that you received. Excuse me. Believe that you received. Believe that you received. I'm going to keep saying that a little bit. Believe that you received. Believe that you received. Believe that you received. Okay, now received has a what on the end of ED? Past tense. Believe you received. When? When you prayed. Believe you received. If you believe you received, then you'll have. Believe you received. I said, okay, Lord. Believe I received. I received. I received. I believe I received. Believe you received. Mary, hand me that, please. Believe you received. Believe you received. What if it was an invisible piece of paper and I couldn't see it? And then she handed it to me. I believe I received. And now I have because what? I believe I received. And the word of God said, if I believe I received, then I have. But in order to have, I got to believe I received. If I don't believe I received, I don't have. But if I have, then I must have believed I received. You see, y'all, I'm learning too. Believe you received. It's there. But we got to believe we received it. Then once we believe, we received it. Because when we do that, what are we doing? We're uniting the word of God with faith. Because that's what the word said. And when we put that word together with faith, then what we want is ours. What we believe in. But you got to believe that you received. And once you believe that you received, and then it's time then to do thanksgiving and praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that my body is healing well. Thank you that my voice is back the way it should be. Thank you, Lord, that I'm free of all sickness and disease. Thank you, Father God, that we have everything we need in this ministry. Thank you, Father God, that all the audio and everything works the way you created it to work. God, we thank you that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Then it's time to just go into a time of thanksgiving and praise. Whether we feel like praising him or thanking him or not, but still praise him and thank him because you know the word of God is true. And you know now I have what I believe for. So I'm thanking God for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for all your blessings and your grace and your mercy and everything, Lord. We just thank you because we realize we can of our own self do nothing. So God, we just say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We bless your name in this place today. And we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.